Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Joyful, joyful.
Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. This is the show where we talk about spirituality and sexuality for our community.
And good evening and welcome to Spirit Lounge and welcome Tal.
Welcome Joy.
And Rachel.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, that voice on our intro is Bertie and she's over in Scotland. Do you think she's voting right now?
Oh, I've actually been trying to follow it. It's really exciting.
Well, I saw it's going to be on TV, so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen over there. Now, tonight we're going to continue with the series we're doing on Pentecostal churches. What have we got coming up tonight?
Well, now we're talking to some people associated with leaders from either from Pentecostal churches or in some way associated with Pentecostal churches who are also to at least claim in some way to be friendly or accepting of GLBTI members. So
we're going to talk to two people tonight. And as Tao said, one is from a Pentecostal church and one is from a friendly.
Yes, I guess.
Well, they're both sort of friendly, aren't they?
That's what I mean. Yes. That's I didn't quite know how to put picture, but you'll understand more, I think, as the night goes
they
on.
They like us people.
Yes. Our first guest is Pastor Sam Grebert. Since the age of 11, Sam has been involved in various ministry leadership roles within different Pentecostal churches. And at the age of 19, he planted his first church. After coming out as gay, Sam moved to Sydney and is the founding church pastor for New Covenant Church Sydney. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge, Pastor Sam Grebert.
Hi, it's been great to get here. So it's great to meet you all.
Now, we were wondering what the response of the church was, or maybe of your churches that you were attending at the time when you first came out.
Yeah, so it was varied. At that point, the churches I was part of actually had no idea. So I had constantly busied myself with church activities, social events, ministry. So a lot of people actually didn't suspect it. They thought I was just busy, I wasn't interested. So really, not a lot of them knew what was really going on outside of what they saw on a Sunday.
So you came out and moved to Sydney, is that right?
Yeah, so it basically culminated where I had planted first church between 18 to 19. And through that process, I came to Sydney. I had a moral failure, to title it in the church, and it caused me to reevaluate the whole situation. And so I came out and told my leaders what had happened. I was then stepped down and then in the process made a decision to move to Sydney.
So, Sam, why and how did New Covenant Church start?
Okay, so New Covenant came about when I first moved to Sydney. For about a year, I had nothing to do with church, really. I thought I would just take time out completely. It was quite a bit of a traumatic experience, going through different things. Really wanted nothing to do with church. And eventually, it came about through Facebook and Twitter. Got in communication with a church we're now affiliated under in the U.S., New Covenant Church of Atlanta. And we talked for about 13 months. On the possibility of starting a work in Sydney or something that would be similar in nature but with much more of an Australian, of course, kind of ethos and push behind it. So it was a period of about 13 months or more that we really talked about it and then, of course, decided in March of 2013 to actually launch the church.
Now, apart from issues with sexuality, you're saying that there's an Australian ethos compared to in America, but what are the, or are there any differences between New Covenant Church and other Pentecostal churches?
I mean, the major difference, of course, would be our understanding of gay and lesbian people, where we sit. Obviously, we don't believe in a change message or that it's a sickness or it's sin. So that would be the major distinction from us and your local Pentecostal church down the road, per se. Expression of worship, most of our doctrinal beliefs are exactly the same. The major difference being, of course, the LGBTIQ emphasis and understanding.
So how do you view the Bible?
Yeah, so we view the Bible as the inspired word of God. So it's one of these kind of contentious issues where is it the infallible, is it inspired, is it just written by well-meaning people? We believe it's inspired, so it's not perfect in what it says about numerous different things, but we do believe that it's the thing that we can grab a hold of and we can get principles out of it to apply to our life, to set things in order or get answers to what we need. So we still have quite a conservative opinion when it comes to the Bible or its use or its relevance. It's still quite conservative, but we believe it can still speak to us where we're at today.
Right. So apart from, obviously, the scriptures that condemn homosexuality, or we say condemn homosexuality, you then ascribe to all the rest of the Bible? Is that the way it goes?
Yeah. So we obviously do believe, if we're looking at the Old Testament, there's quite a lot of narrative or moral-based story. So I think we can draw something out of different stories when it comes to Jonah and the whale. It may not have been a literal account, but we can draw from the example of Jonah being obedient to the voice of God. So there's multiple different themings that we would draw from different narratives or stories.
Yes, I mean, many churches still hold the belief that the Bible was almost written by God, don't they? So they don't see stories like Jonah and the whale as an actual story. It is a, like people are still looking for Noah's Ark, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. It's very much still, the, I would say the majority of the church would subscribe to a more of a literal translation as it's written, as how it happened, more so than looking at moral narrative or, you know, of what we can glean from the story in the context.
And it's very hard, Sam, if you ascribe to that literal translation to actually accept GLBTI people.
Yeah, definitely. I really think that's the main key of why the majority of the church don't always get the understanding, because when you do have that literal understanding, particularly of the Old Testament and the angry God in the clouds kind of thing, it's hard for you to actually move beyond that when it comes to relating to people, because sometimes it gets lost a little bit.
Yeah. The other thing I notice about many Pentecostal churches is that they only seem to allow women in leadership if they're married to the pastor. How do you view that?
Yeah, we obviously love women in leadership. I actually listened to your previous week and kind of caught my attention on this because it's such an important issue. I think these days in particular, that's unfortunately become the norm. My background is the Assemblies of God, or they're now called Australian Christian Churches, and I'm sure they're some of the ones that you actually visited in Melbourne. And they unfortunately will only ordain women or into a pastor role if they're married to a husband who's also a pastor. So outside of that, they won't actually ordain women into leadership roles. So, you know, I really think there's a little bit behind the eight ball. In the early Pentecostal movement, a lot of it was driven by women, even divorced women or single women. So it's really, it's sad because it's kind of shifted and it's reverted a little bit. A lot of the early days of the Assemblies of God in Australia were actually started by one or two key women who traveled around the countryside planting churches. So I think we really, it's reverted, and it shouldn't have reverted. It should obviously continue. So
yeah, and I mean, you brought up the issue of divorced woman. Well, you know, there's this negative view to divorced people also, isn't there, within many churches, not just Pentecostal, but many other churches as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I think even some churches still, you know, with gambling is a serious issue, or alcohol is still a serious issue. So it's one of these many issues or themes that the church tends to struggle with, where either we get it right or we get it really wrong. And it's that process of gripping with that and understanding And I think that's where they're at with a lot of the women's issues, is that I do agree with you that it's very male-driven to an extent, and I really think that needs to change, because a lot of the key women in history of the Pentecostal movement, that's how it was. It was, if the women didn't do it, a lot of things wouldn't be here today. It's important.
And what about at New Covenant Church? We've noticed that maybe there's also a lack of women there, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, so it's one of these things where, obviously, in Sydney, we have a diverse range of people, particularly churches we're connected to predominantly internationally, have a large demographic of women in leadership or on team or on staff. So it does depend, obviously, where we're reaching. Obviously, I think if you have a church that has a lot of particularly gay men, then that will then attract a lot of gay men. So if you have a church we're connected to in South Africa who is run by a lesbian couple, they have a lot of lesbian women and also trans women. So it just, I think, depends on the demographic, where people want to be around similar people. And so that's unfortunately something that we've always struggled with, where, you know, we advertise as Lottl, we do different things, we love women in leadership. It's just unfortunately that at this point, there's not more women. We're hoping to change that with our Castle extension, because we've got a lot more connections as far as women go. So that's, I think, where we're more of a positive outlook to changing that.
And you're on Spirit Lounge, and we're talking to Pastor Sam Grebert from New Covenant Church in Sydney. Sam, we've received a message from Dean, and he wants to know, how old is your guest pastor, and how can he be a wise leader of men at such a young age?
Okay, so
you might not want to tell them exactly how old you are, but
no, it's perfectly understandable, because this is something that I continually have to deal with. So it's quite a custom, this question. I'm actually 26. I've been doing church since I was 11. In that process between 11 and 26, I said this is my second church. So to me, this is quite old hat. In that process, I've actually been mentored, of course, by different leaders. I had been on team with the president of Foursquare Gospel Australia, which is one of Australia's Pentecostal denominations. So I've been in leadership with key people over a period of time. I did Bible college when I was 16. I started that. I got consent from them to do that, and that was an Assembly of God Bible College. So, you know, there's been... I like that kind of question, because it's something that not always is discussed, and it's something that it's really, again, having to grapple with. Because I think our understanding is old equals wisdom, or mature equals wisdom. And sometimes that's the case, but sometimes it's not always the case.
Pentecostal churches, Sam, do develop younger leaders, don't they, over the board?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the major distinctions, is that it is known for having a younger demographic generally. And because there is that younger demographic who either sit in the pews or attend, then you do have a younger demographic of your leadership. So it's not uncommon. I mean, I know of a young guy in Queensland. He's my age, and he's started the church, a church plant, last year, similar time to us, and they now have a building and 300 people, and it's growing. And So I really don't think age within Pentecostal context is different sometimes in the mainstream church or the more mainline traditional denominations, but in the Pentecostal church it's quite common to have younger leaders who are released to do a lot more younger on.
Yeah. Now, there's often an emphasis on us being sinners in Pentecostal churches. And is that the same in the New Covenant Church?
No, I actually rarely mention it.
Oh, so, thank goodness for that.
I actually had a laugh when I listened to your interview, and I thought, you know, I actually thought about it, because normally, I think so often when you're involved in something, you don't always think about specific instances or specific key things like that. And I started thinking about it as I was listening to your previous week, and I started thinking about why we do that, or how we do that, or how it just happens and no one actually realizes it's happening because it's so common. And so we rarely, I don't give a lift your hand if you want to come to Jesus kind of meeting. That's not a common thing. Every Sunday at New Covenant, we don't do that. We, of course, pray with people, and we're happy to do with that, and we'll have an altar call if people want healing or they want to be encouraged. But it's not normally a come-to-Jesus kind of meeting, normally. So it's not a common thing for us to do that.
Most churches have a very conservative view on sex. what does New Covenant Church, where is your stand on sexual relationships?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, obviously you can't say that you can't have sex until you get married, because we can't get married. So
no. So as far as we're kind of there, people are people. People are adults. They have their own free will to do as they choose. As a church, though, our stance is obviously we are very much pro-committed relationships, monogamous relationships. And so within the context of a relationship, we don't have a problem with it at all, obviously, because we can't get married at this point. Hopefully it's going to change. So we actually are not, we of course don't restrict or enforce that on our people at all, which is, I think, sometimes wisdom, because even though it's the said and done thing in the mainstream church, it's not always carried out in practice. And so you have a lot of problems. So I think it's a realistic kind of issue. Sometimes you need to be real about it.
So if same-sex marriage did become legal in Australia, do you think that your stance would change?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, because it's a committed relationship. So if people are happy and they're with a partner, and I believe that's a natural expression of love. It can also be an expression of something else, but within the context of a relationship, if marriage was to come in, I don't see an issue. I mean, it's not something that that we're too focused on. Of course, we make sure people stay safe, and we want people to stay safe if they're going to do whatever. But within a context of a relationship is where we normally would put emphasis when it comes to anything of a sexual ethic kind of nature.
So what is the New Covenant Church's relationship with other Pentecostal churches?
Yeah, no, we are currently at the moment, we have obviously a lot of connections overseas, South Africa and America. We also have myself and my partner, Ben, we have a relationship with quite a few different mainstream pastors in Australia and in Sydney in particular. So we're looking at, obviously, when we launch our second campus out in Castle Hill, to actually build more of a rapport with those pastors through dialogue, conversation, really create a table where we can come and sit down and talk about this issue. Because I really believe that's the way the church is going to change, is not so much by demanding a response, but by them seeing it demonstrated. So we tend to like to keep conversation open and friendly so we can actually engage people that way.
Sam, finally, when and where are your services if people are interested in attending?
Yeah, we are at Erskineville Town Hall, Sunday mornings at 10, and then we've also got Castle Hill launching 28th of September at Castle Hill Community Centre.
And if people are interested, it's www.newcovenantsydney.com, and we'll put a link through the Spirit Lounge to that website. Pastor Sam Grebert, thank you so much for coming on Spirit Lounge.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And good evening, and you're on Spirit Lounge with Rachel, Tal and Choi, and we're here every, well, Tal and I are here every Thursday night from 8 to 9, so tune in. Wish we had a camera in the studio, because watching Tal and Rachel dancing was just quite hysterical, really.
We are fine dancers.
In fact, I think you're probably better off. You're probably better off without.
Yeah, great dancing for radio.
Okay. Rachel, can you introduce our next guest, please?
Yeah, next we have Reverend Greg Smith. So Metropolitan Community Church is an inclusive, progressive Christian church open to all people who want to learn more about God. They give thanks to God for people of all genders, sexualities, ages and cultural backgrounds. At MCC, all persons have value and worth and are uniquely gifted to share the good news with others. The pastor of MCC is a good friend of mine, Reverend Greg Smith. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge, Greg.
G'day, how are you?
Good.
Hey, it's nice to be on with you guys tonight.
Thank you. So why do you think GLBTI people attend Pentecostal churches when they can be so damaging to them?
Oh, look, I think one part of the Pentecostal church is the actual environment. You know, and let's be honest, you know, they really sometimes do worship really well. And so, you know, there's an excitement about being there. And I can understand, particularly for younger people, that sort of dynamic sort of feeling of being amongst a whole bunch of people and really, you know, getting into particularly modern music and all of that is very attractive.
So MCC Sydney offers an alternative to Pentecostal churches with their evening contemporary service. How did this start and who attends?
Well, the contemporary service started many years ago when some of our young folks said, you know, we're a bit bored with what you guys do. And so it started actually just as a music group, which some of you may know as Crave these days. Eventually it went off and became Crave MCC, which was a wonderful new church. But yeah, it was really just a bunch of young people who wanted to get together and do modern music. And it sort of grew from there. And I think there's a, it's not really what you'd call Pentecostal, though. I think it's contemporary in that it uses modern music and modern expressions, but it probably isn't quite what people would define as Pentecostal worship.
Greg, it's Joy. It seems to keep growing. Do you have any reason that you know of why this is happening?
You mean growing within MCC Sydney?
Yeah, the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers are great. Look, I think it's because it's so free-flowing. And, you know, okay, we use modern music most of the time, but just the service itself is free-flowing. It's not structured. It's not traditional. Sometimes we use audio-visual stuff. Sometimes we don't. I think there's a lot of variety in it, and I think that's quite attractive to people as well. It's interesting, too, that at the contemporary worship service here, that there's a large number of not-so-young people who find it very refreshing as well.
Yes, including me, and I'm not so young. Greg, one thing I like about it is also has some liturgy that most Pentecostal churches don't have.
Yeah, look, I suppose that's a bit of my old Methodist coming through. But I think it's always, I find anyway, that it's always a good idea to have a bit of a fallback position. So that there's some structure. I find, and talking to the people who come here, find that the structure is quite affirming and comfortable for people rather than just anything goes.
So why do you think people continue to attend a Pentecostal church and MCC? Why would they sort of hang on to it if in that scenario?
I think when you're talking about Pentecostal churches, you're talking about a whole, in most cases, a theological difference as well. I think probably MCC is probably not quite as conservative as most Pentecostal churches. I think, you know, listening to the pastor before from New Covenant, you know, around issues of sexuality and that, we probably are a little less conservative. Some people just like, you know, at MCC, you know, our morning service, which is traditional with smells and bells and wells and the organ and all that sort of stuff, and some people just love it. Some people love Pentecostal worship. Some like the middle of the road. I think it's a real personal choice.
Yeah, so Pentecostal churches are very opinionated when it comes to sex. So what's MCC's view on sex?
Well, basically, we see our sexuality as a God-given gift and something to be used in loving interaction, relationship with each other. And look, it's wonderful when people fall into relationships and those who want to have monogamous relationships, we uphold them and we think that's wonderful. But at the same time, we recognise that in our community that there are people who have other sexual expressions and the way they express their sexuality. And our approach is that, you know, if there's honesty and respect and dignity within those interactions, then probably they're okay.
Well, it's interesting to note, I mean, sometimes when people would say respect and dignity in a sexual relationship, they mean monogamy, but you seem to be saying that that's not necessarily the case.
Well, when people come to me asking about that, I always quote from the great commandment from Jesus to love God and to love your neighbour as you love yourself. And I say to people, look, ask yourself three questions. Is what I'm doing, is it damaging my relationship with God? Is it damaging another person and making another person vulnerable? And is it making me vulnerable or damaging me? And if you can answer that, you know, in those three areas that everything's okay, then I kind of suspect that it's okay.
So, Greg, do you think other Pentecostal churches are aware that some of their members are attending MCC as well?
Oh, look, we have people from all sorts of churches attending here, and some might be aware and some aren't. And I think that, yes, we have people from other Pentecostal churches, and that's great. Hey, if they go to the Pentecostal church in the morning and they come to us in the evening, I think that's fabulous, and, you know, and that's a good thing for everyone.
Do you have any idea what the Pentecostal churches think of that?
Oh, I don't think they're very happy. Don't get me wrong. I'm, when I'm talking about Pentecostal churches here, I'm not including New Covenant Church.
Yeah, no, that's good.
I think they probably wouldn't be too happy at all in most cases. No.
Greg, do you think that the views in Pentecostal churches are changing towards GLBTI people?
Yes, I think they are. I think at least at some levels of leadership, and we've heard some fairly positive things from people like Brian Houston, for example, in the Hillsong movement, which we wouldn't have thought we would have heard 5-6 years ago. I think there's a gradual shift, but I think it's going to be long and slow.
One of the things we've spoken about over the past 2 weeks is that some people feel that while they're claiming to improve, that they're maybe not really, and that maybe it's just more a bit tactical more than anything. And
yeah, well, that wouldn't surprise me. It's a bit hard to make a clear statement on that sort of thing, and I think in many ways even some non-Pentecostal churches are doing that. But the proof's going to be in the eating and down the track. But sadly, on the way, many young people in particular are going to be damaged.
There's still, as part of our programs, I actually went to 3 different Pentecostal churches here in Melbourne as a spy, and they never twigged that I was a lesbian at all. But part of the thing I found was that they were on so much about couples and straight, made it very obvious that they were talking about straight couples all the time.
Yeah, look, what surprises me in a lot of the the non-GLBT accepting churches is an obsession with sexuality, and they seem to be obsessed with it. And I often wonder where that comes from. Yeah.
So, does MCC Sydney have much of a relationship with any Pentecostal churches, or?
Oh, look, there's a bit of an overlap with our people with New Covenant, of course. But apart from that, no, we don't.
What about with any non-Pentecostal churches?
Oh, yes, we have a good relationship with some of the local Baptist churches, and particularly with the Uniting Church. We've very close relationship with many Uniting Churches, and actually in October next year I'm preaching at 3 country Uniting Churches. So, you know, many, many Uniting Churches have a close relationship with us, and all of our clergy, or the most of our clergy, do at least part of their training at United Church seminaries. So there's always been a close relationship there.
MCC, though, is each church is very different, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And around the world there are MCCs that are Pentecostal, what you would term as Pentecostal.
Yeah, look, there's Pentecostal MCCs, there's Smells and Bells MCCs, and there's everywhere in between. The big wonder of MCC is that each local congregation takes on the flavour of its members and its pastor. So here, for example, in MCC Sydney, in the morning we're a good old Methodist church, because I'm an old Methodist.
Everyone has to have Wesley songs.
Yeah. If we don't have a Wesley hymn on Sunday morning, but then in the evening,
the cross falls off or something happens. I said the cross falls down or something drastic happens.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. But then in the evening we have this wonderful contemporary thing. I think there's place for both and everything in between.
Yeah, but so, you know, admit it, Greg, you sometimes sneak one of those Wesleyan hymns into the night service.
Well, the interesting thing is when we do that, the young people seem to really enjoy it.
But now it's ironic, because now it's vintage.
well, it's a bit like, I'm pretty vintage too. Unlike Pastor Sam, I don't have to ever ask the question about my age, that's for sure.
But Pastor Gavin, he's young, so that's all right. That brings the average age down, doesn't it?
Just a little bit. bit, yeah. And when you attend, Joy, it always brings the age down as well.
Oh, no, I'm getting up near you, Greg. Greg, when and where are your services?
MCC Sydney is at our church at Crystal Street in Petersham, and 10 o'clock in the morning, which is the traditional service, and 6:30 in the evening for the contemporary service. And then there are two other MCCs here in Sydney as well, Crave MCC at Paddington, which is at 3 o'clock, and MCC Good Shepherd out in Granville, which is at 6:30 in the evening. And then, of course, we've got Melbourne, we've got MCC at Box Hill, and in Brisbane, MCC in Brisbane City. Yeah.
And if you want to know more information about MCC Sydney, go to www.mccsydney.org, and we'll put a link on our social media page.
Yes, we will. Thank you very much, Reverend. It was a wonderful chat.
Okay, have a great night, everyone.
Thanks, Greg.
God bless. Bye-bye. Amazing love,
amazing grace.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9, and tune in every Thursday night at 8 till 9 to hear the wonderful tale, Joy and Rachel. And that was Michael W. Smith with Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. The dancing in the studio was quite amazing.
It was quite
really
inspirational.
Not sure about graceful at all, but it was
amazing, not so much grace.
We've had lots of dancing around the studio tonight. So we've spoken to Pastor Sam Grebert and we've spoken to Reverend Greg Smith. Rachel, you have a background in Pentecostal church, well, charismatic, which is the same sort of thing, but a mainstream church of a Baptist, is that right?
Yeah, so I grew up in Baptist churches. My dad's a Baptist minister, and most of my life was spent at a charismatic Baptist church, is what my dad called it. I didn't understand how it was any different to any other churches because that's just what I was used to. But obviously, since moving on from that church, I have learnt that there are many different types of churches, and I have been to some way more Pentecostal churches than that one. So I am definitely aware of what goes on there.
And you've also, of course, been to MCC Sydney when you were up there. You were.
Yes, definitely. That will continue to be my home no matter how far away I am.
Bit far to go to church, though.
Oh, just a little bit.
So have you found a church in Melbourne that you attend? Or?
No, I haven't. I did spend a little while having a just a exploration period, I would say, of just different churches around Melbourne. And although a lot of the churches were incredibly friendly and there wasn't, you know, anything particularly wrong with them, they just didn't sit right with me. It wasn't, you know, a place where I could call home. And I've since given up my look, my search for a church.
What was it that didn't sit right? Can you...
Look, some of them was the music. Music is definitely an important thing to me. I guess growing up in a relatively Pentecostal church, music does become quite important. And when you go to more traditional churches, it's hard to find that same feeling that you get when you do have like the big band and, you know, three worship leaders rather than one person with an out-of-tune guitar. And some others just didn't connect so well with the people. You know, being 23 and a lot of churches still have quite older congregations, that can be difficult as well. They're still lovely people, but maybe just didn't connect with me on the same kind of level. So,
what about the mega Pentecostal churches? Have you...
No, I haven't. I haven't gone exploring mega Pentecostal churches. I think I'm a bit scared now.
You should have come on my spying mission.
I should have. Maybe we can go and do it again.
Oh, my goodness me.
I'm
traumatized already. But Tal would have to come and he refuses.
Yeah, I'll stay at home.
Well, maybe I'll hold Tal's hand.
Oh, this is...
This is more spying, yeah. The trouble is that it seems to me that the mega Pentecostal churches, some of them, and not all of them, but certainly church number 3 had fabulous worship. I loved the worship. And even Tal, who heard one of their songs, thought it was fabulous.
That was fantastic. I must say, that when I heard one of the songs, that's when I sort of went, I get this now. Because even sometimes when you hear the idea, I guess as an outsider, you hear the idea of, you know, it's more for young people and it's fun and it sounds a bit hokey and maybe a bit, but then in actually hearing some, I'm like, whew, that's as a massive cynic, I'm pretty turned on there.
And they have a mosh pit
towards these ones.
Yeah, and in the past, some of this Pentecostal music has ended up on mainstream radio and stuff because it's ended up in like top 10 on iTunes because so many people are buying it. People don't even realize that they're listening to Christian music because it's just like it's rock and roll or it's, you know, pop music.
It's just about believing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only if you listen to the lyrics.
Is up for in the running for 3 awards at the ARIAs?
Wow.
Yeah,
they've
got
me.
3 albums that are in the voting. But my problem, I mean, the church I went to, the third church I went to, the worship was fabulous, but my problem is the rest of it. You know, to listen to a 45-minute sermon on how bad I am, and a sermon that not only said that, but actually slammed other churches and ministers. That riled me. I was going to stand up at that point and amongst all those hundreds of people and say, excuse me.
Well, imagine it must be so confusing to, you know, it's here, it's like you've painted a modern or contemporary sort of paint on top of a very, very conservative ideology in many ways. So it's, I think that would be extra confronting and extra surprising, I guess.
But then someone said to me that they go to a Pentecostal church and they don't actually listen to the sermon anyway. They go for the worship and they tune out during the sermon. Well, I must admit that I was Facebooking Tal during the sermon because I got so sick of hearing about
saying
sin.
Please help.
Yeah, and if anyone
I said this is your fault,
just say I've got a Bible app on my phone, guys, it's okay.
Well, I do have, actually. Funny you say that.
That's funny. I mean, my own experiences of any worship is we'll sleep through most of it, and you kind of just get there for the speech, and then that's it. You kind of pass out for the rest of it. So it's funny to hear it the other way around.
But I guess also with these mega churches where you've got hundreds of people, you can go enjoy the worship, tune out during the sermon. You actually don't have to connect with anyone because there's so many people there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think some of these mega churches suffer from having like a big head because they're like, oh, so many people come here. We must be the only church that you can go to be a real Christian. Like, I was given the speech about one church that I went to about how, oh, well, you can't be a real Christian. You know, you need to come down the front and say the prayer again. Even though I'd grown up as a minister's daughter, I'd gone to church from the day after I was born.
Count.
It didn't count because I wasn't a Christian at that church.
Yeah.
So I had to recommit my life to God, and then, you know, well, everything went downhill from there when they found out I was gay, so that was out the window.
Yeah. I wonder if these are similar to the ones, do you remember when we were here the other day, I showed you, people were handing out, you know, are Catholics really Christian?
Yeah, I'm not sure about those people.
Yeah, we couldn't work out who they were because they weren't putting their name on their pamphlets, their little hateful pamphlets.
And so that's Spirit Lounge for another night. Tune in next week, 8 p.m. for the 3 Revs. And good night, Hal.
Good night, Joy.
Good night, Rachel.
Good night, everybody.
And we're going to go out with Toby Mac with Tonight. It's Good Night from Joy.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.